Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it's great to be with you. Before we get into the show today, don't forget to subscribe to Friends with Money if you haven't already. That way you'll get the show in your feed every week and you won't miss an episode. On to today's episode though, who doesn't want to retire early? Or failing that, with enough of a nest egg to make retirement as comfortable as possible? Well, even if it's a decade or two off, there are plenty of things that people can be doing on the superannuation front, at least, to reap the benefits come retirement. So I'm pleased to say that joining us today to have a chat about this and to provide us with a bit of a super refresher is the head of advice, experience, and enhancements at Aware Super, Peter Hogg. Peter, welcome to Friends with Money.
Good to be here, Tom.
It's great to have you on the show. Peter, I know Aware Super has recently done a bit of research on retirement intentions, especially among younger Australians. So is what I said true? Do we all want to retire early?
Well, not everyone. There's certainly a decent cohort, particularly of the younger group, that really want to retire much earlier than what many people actually do, which is really interesting, isn't it, that the aspirations are quite ambitious, which is understandable. But yeah, there was a third of people that we surveyed between 16 and 34 actually felt like they wanted to retire around 55, which again, is rather ambitious.
Definitely. And that brings me to my next question, which I forgot about when we were talking about this earlier. But for most Australians, in most situations, people can't actually access their super until they're 60. Is that correct, Peter?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's a really interesting point, particularly in light of the research we've done. Now, superannuation is not the only way you can save money, of course. There's many different ways, but we know that superannuation forms such a bedrock for many people's retirement. And access to super for most people doesn't exist until at least 60 years old. Now, there are certain circumstances where people could access before then, whether that's through, you know, severe hardship or terminal illness and different things. But the reality is most people won't be able to touch their super till at least 60, which means that there's a bit of a conflict in the thinking there.
Absolutely. So I guess for anyone listening who hasn't given a lot of thought to their super before, Peter, but, you know, wants to ensure that they're going to end up with as large a balance as possible when they do retire, what are some of the basic things that they, I guess, could or should be doing?
Yeah, Tom, look, the first thing we actually encourage, it's an interesting one, is to get to understand, get to know your superannuation, how it works, how it's invested, even where it is. And a lot of people don't know where their super might be. It might be sitting across multiple funds from multiple jobs and different things. So I think that's the first thing, is just getting to understand the basics of it, because there's crucial things you could be doing right now, whether it's how your money's invested. Obviously, multiple accounts might mean multiple fees, so there might be opportunities to consolidate and reduce the ongoing costs there. But of course, there's opportunities to start contributing to super in different ways, and there's some great concessions and opportunities that the government give you to encourage you to do that. So, look, there's multiple things, but I think the starting point really is just getting engaged and understanding the basics of it.
And I guess, as you're saying, a lot of people might have multiple different accounts, some that they might have even forgotten about. So is consolidation one of those kind of very basic things that people could or should be thinking about doing?
Yeah, look, we certainly encourage people to consider it. Now, there are sometimes reasons why people might want multiple funds. You know, there's strategic reasons around insurance or particular strategies that might be used. But generally, it makes a whole lot of sense to think about having one super where it's in the one place. You're not having multiple fees and all those sort of things. So that's a great starting point. Again, to be able to do that, you need to know where your super is. That's a great place to start for many people, just to go, okay, let's tidy this up and get it into a fund that you're comfortable with and you understand and you can access. That makes a whole lot of sense.
And I guess on the consolidation front, there are, you know, different tools out there for people to go and look for their any lost super that they may have. So jump online and have a look for those if you need to. Beyond the fundamentals though, Peter, some people may be curious about the idea of topping up their super, and as you said, beyond the contributions that they're getting from their employer. Before we get into the various options that are available on that front, are you able to give us a bit of a sense, though, as to the potential impact that extra contributions can have on someone's balance come retirement, though?
Yeah, look, it's a good question, and everyone wants to know, well, what does it mean? What do I get at the end of it? Maybe a good way to think about it, if you run through some sort of basic maths that sits behind it, a dollar today earning 7% a year in 10 years will double. So if you think about the multiplying impact of that, and 7%, just I guess for a bit of context, you know, it's about the return you'd expect on average from, a balanced or growth fund in your superannuation. And, you know, that would double with that sort of return every 10 years. So you think about, you know, $100 becomes, I think over 30 years becomes $800, for example. So the multiplying impact of that over contributions you're making today over the next 10, 20, 30 years is quite profound, of course. And, you know, there's a real opportunity to see your money grow significantly the earlier you start contributing. And I think that's the really exciting part about making contributions when you're younger.
It's some serious, serious potential there. My eyebrows were raised, which doesn't translate through the audio medium so well, but you could definitely see them there, Peter. So on the contribution front then, Peter, what are the kind of options that people have for topping up, for adding more?
Yeah, so there's two main ways you can contribute to super. So there's using pre-tax dollars, and generally this is probably one of the easier ways to do it, right? A lot of people will use, you might have heard of salary sacrifice, but using your pay in pre-tax before you actually your payroll department takes your tax out, you can actually choose to put some of that money into superannuation. And the benefit of that is you pay 15% tax on that money rather than your marginal rate of earnings, which depending on how much you earn could be up to, you know, 35-40%. So that's probably the most popular way. But the other way to do it is with after-tax money. So, you know, you might have saved some money up over the year and you've got some money sitting in a bank account saved away and you think, oh, what can I do with that? You can certainly use after-tax money to contribute to super. And the reason you might do that, again, depending on your income levels, is if you're earning less than, say, $57,000, then the government will actually give you a level of co-contribution for your efforts. So if you use some of that after-tax money, and again, you need to look at where your income sits in the threshold and how you sit relative to that. But the government will actually top you up 50% of your contribution depending on that income level. So there's a real opportunity to get a boost in terms of that contribution. And we encourage people to really look at, you know, where their income sits and what's the right contribution option for them. But those two are, you know, both great ways to contribute to super.
And on this as well, Peter, are there any, I guess, caps or thresholds that people need to be aware of when it comes to contributing themselves?
Yeah. So with salary sacrifice or pre-tax contributions, the maximum anyone can do in one given year is $27,500. So there's a fair bit of room there. But what you also need to remember that with that is that does include what your employer puts in for your superannuation guarantee as well. So you've got to factor that sort of stuff in. And there's a really interesting thing that's come out in the last couple of years is that if you don't use that cap, say, this financial year, you get the opportunity to save that for next year and potentially add more in for the following year. So it sort of builds a bit of a buffer for you. So there's some real opportunities about getting money in, but the baseline cap is $27,500 per year. There's actually quite a larger cap when it comes to after-tax dollars. You can add a whole heap in after-tax if you've got that money sitting around and available. But the important one, maybe when we're thinking about younger people and adding to super, is having a look at your co-contribution limits, so where the government will actually help you with a top-up contribution. And as I said, if your income's under that $57,000 mark, there is some co-contribution you could access. But as I said, if you want to learn more about these things and what's right for you, it's worthwhile investigating, and there's plenty of different ways you can learn on, you know, the best method of contribution for you, we've developed a super helpful guide that sort of gives you some of those tips as well, that guides you on the right way to make a contribution.
Peter, this has been really helpful and practical. Before we let you go, though, on the topic of tips, you're obviously a man who knows a lot more about super than most people do. So is there a tip or two that you'd be able to leave us with?
Yeah, look, I know I commented it earlier before, but look, the big one for anyone at any age, I think, is really just getting engaged with your super. And once you do that, I think it really does open your eyes to, you know, some of the fundamentals. You know, how am I invested? You know, this is my retirement savings. What am I doing about that? How much do I know about it? It gives you the opportunity to start to think about the right way to contribute if you can. And as I said, funds like Aware Super, there's so much free information and some free advice you can get on certain topics about your situation, your super. And I would just encourage everyone to tap into that and take full advantage of it. And I said that might lead to a contribution, or it might just lead to a better understanding of how you're invested and more confidence in your retirement plans.
It's interesting that the two are kind of linked in my mind, Peter. I was having a chat with a friend the other day who talked about the fact that since they've started making voluntary contributions, and I know that's not something that everyone can do, they are checking their super every month. It's just that next level engagement after doing that, because they want to see, A, that the money's going in, and probably, and also the impact that it's having. So it obviously does make a difference for some people.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we don't encourage people to check every day. You know, there's obviously the economy moves around in all different weird and wonderful ways, and sometimes that can be overwhelming. But yeah, certainly getting engaged just helps you understand all those things as well and make, you know, better decisions now and into the future.
Peter, this has been a wonderful and informing chat. So thank you so much for coming on, and we'll definitely have to get you back on Friends with Money again in the future to talk super more.
Sounds good, Tom. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Before we let you go, dear listener, don't forget that if you have a question or a query or even an episode idea for us, you can get in contact using our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And you can also keep up to date with all the latest financial news on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, though, but we'll be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.